Oh, it is hot. It is muggy. It is Friday, though, in Austin, Texas. We're glad you're with us. It'll be good to get the Buck back in-house on Monday. Hope he comes back with good news on his mom and what's going on back east in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But Monty Williams is hanging out with us this morning. Appreciate Monty being here. Of course, always able to jump in and fill in and ride shotgun with us when Bucky or I are out. But also serving a new role where he's helping us to join and get our podcast realm of Austin Radio Network and the Horn more robust. And you've been working hard on that, Monty. You've got four podcasts in the can that we hope to launch early next week. And we've heard highlights from some of those this morning. Craig Way, a sit-down you had with him about his career and play-by-play in general. And then Bill Schoening, who we heard from last hour, voice of the Spurs. And this hour we'll hear a highlight from Lance Blanks, who you sat down with, which that was one of the first ones you wanted to do because you...
He's a fascinating guy, really, really good guy. He, like I say, when you start talking about somebody who's played college basketball at a very high level, and Texas almost made it into the Final Four that year, that was back with the BMW scoring machine, and then number one draft choice, went in the first round to the Detroit Pistons, and then after a playing career, he played in Europe, and then went into management. He was head of scouting for the Spurs, and then assistant GM of the Cavs, and then GM. Top of the heap with the Phoenix Suns. So, yes, he was one of my first choices. He's a fascinating guy.
No doubt. So we'll hear a piece of that and tell you more about these podcasts and what the plan is for them and how they're going to roll out and what we hope from them or what they become here as part of the Horn and HornFM.com and the Austin Radio Network. So that's coming. Also, we'll have your salacious gossip and your Friday Blitz, which is pretty usually a little nasty. We're going to talk to Craig Way coming up here in a moment as well, right after the headlines. Craig called the game last night against TCU. Texas got the win. We'll tell you how here in a minute. Also, he was down in Houston yesterday for the luncheon, the Touchdown Club of Houston, where Tom Herman spoke on playing A&M and the Alabama addition to the schedule and other things with the folks down in Houston. So we'll talk a little with Craig. On the way to the break, though, we're talking about the NBA playoffs and the Final Four and Celtics, Cavs, and Rockets, Warriors. And I wanted to mention this because an hour from now at 9:10, we're going to talk to Brian T. Smith from the Houston Chronicle, columnist, covers the Rockets, covers all things Houston. We'll check in with him. He wrote a story that dropped last night that I have retweeted that's the headline is D'Antoni's self-belief guided the Rockets to Game 2 win. And really, we're going into the national frenzy over Mike D'Antoni after Game 1, wanted him to change everything, scrap everything they do, start over, which was ludicrous on its face. They won 65 games. They just needed to be better at what they do, which they showed in Game 2. But in this article, James Harden, from his post-game news conference on Wednesday night, and you can tell me, Monty, and you, the folks, can tell me if I'm nitpicking at James Harden, because I've had as long as he's been in Houston, I've had a little bit of a thing in my craw for Harden. I mean, when he started dating Kim Kardashian, or Khloe Kardashian, I was so annoyed by that. And of course, he's had playoff failures, right? He had the last time they played Golden State 2 years ago, he had the 11 turnover performance in Game 5. Last year against the Spurs, he disappeared in their playoff loss. So they play Game 1, they lose and get outplayed and really out-hustled, out everything. And then Game 2, they're a totally different-looking basketball team. And after Game 2, which they won going away, Harden said, how about this little quote? And you can tell me if this is nitpicky. He said, the first game we were at 70, tonight we were at 95. We were pretty aggressive. He went into that, they just played it. So my nitpick with Harden is, you're the leader of this basketball team. You're the face of the team. You're going to be the MVP of this league. It's up to you to make sure you're not at 70. That this team is not at 70. You're not going to beat the Warriors at 70 or 75. You're going to beat them at 95 or 100. Again, the leader of the team, it's the NBA, the Kobe Bryants of the world, the LeBron James of the world, the Michael Jordans of the world. These guys refuse. You don't play 70. You don't.
Maybe they didn't try to play 70. Golden State made them play
70. No, he said it was about, no, direct quote, it's about us. We played at 70.
Well, every player says that. It's about us.
But you all you had to do is watch the game to realize that that's where they were.
James Harden was a beast in Game 1. He didn't get any help.
But
I think he did his part.
He played no defense.
Well, that's every game.
He played no defense. He didn't call out a teammate when they weren't. If you're the face of the team and the leader of the team, you're calling out your teammates to make sure. Why were we at 70? We're not beating these guys. There's just a laissez-faire attitude he has that permeates the basketball team. You see it over and over again, and it's why it's hard to pick them to beat this team four times at Golden State because people will then turn around and say, well, Golden State played at 70 on Wednesday night. Well, listen, this is Golden State. They have rings. They have championships. You're James Harden, and you're the Rockets. You don't. You've had playoff failures. That's what you're known for. How is it possible in game one on your home floor when you have home court that you allow and your team allows that to happen, where you play at a C level in a game that you have to be playing at an A level?
Everybody is so painfully aware of how the game's changed over the past few years, and now the defensive pressure, which used to come guarding the basket, now occurs out on the perimeter.
Right.
Defense still wins championships, and right. I just think that the Warriors play much better defense than the Rockets do. That's why I'm saying the Rockets have won their one game, and now it's going to be over. That's my prediction.
And that's where BK and I will disagree, because I kept hearing that after game one that James Harden was a beast and scored 41 points. James Harden was the reason the ball didn't move in game one. James Harden was the reason the ball stopped at the end of the 24-second clock. James Harden was the reason the offense didn't run and nothing got facilitated, and he played no defense on the other end, which allowed easy buckets for Golden State. It's not a Hall of Fame all-time great player for me, but he was in Game 2 when he facilitated, when he was playing at 95. That's frustrating for me from the leader of the team, and it's why maybe Harden doesn't win a championship when it's all said and done.
And I think that's why the Celtics are up 2-0. Cleveland doesn't play very good defense either.
That's true. That's true. But I don't know. It's probably me and Harden. It's just there's a stick in my craw with him.
He is tough. It's tough to see the effort, especially defensively. I mean, I can't imagine him playing for somebody like Brad Stevens or Popovich. I think you just yell at him constantly, nonstop, because he just doesn't defend.
Yeah, and he's the leader of the team. That's the problem. He's the straw that stirs the drink. And you see it all the time. You saw it in Game 5 last year against the Spurs. I mean, in these playoff failures, it's typically him that disappears, and the team responds to that. And I know he scored a lot of points in Game 1, but I thought he was a big factor in them playing at a 70 level, because he was hogging the ball and dribbling the ball with the clock out and not being aggressive in the beginning of their offensive sets. Either way, we'll take your thoughts on that. We'll talk to Brian Smith next hour, probably me and Harden, but that's all right. Let's get some headlines, then we'll talk to Craig Way. Hey, how about Top Gun Equipment Rentals, bringing you the headlines. That's Top Gun with two N's for your equipment needs anytime. Two great locations. To start with Texas baseball, high drama at UFCU Dish Falk Field last night. Texas hosting TCU in the first game of their final series of the regular season. Both teams for coming in. How about the Longhorns? They jumped out to an early 2-0 lead thanks to an RBI ground out and then a Mason Hibler sack fly. And then in the fifth inning, that guy Mason Hibler up again with the bases empty.
And the pitch. Swung on to the ball, hit well, out toward left, and you can say goodnight to it. Mason Hibler drives it over the left field wall, his fourth home run of the season, and the Longhorns now lead at 3-0.
3-0 became 3-2, though, in the seventh inning when the TCU Horned Frogs scratched out a couple of runs. Nolan Kingham, though, the starting pitcher who was great last night, stayed in the game, remained in after he gave up those two runs, and told David Pierce, the manager, the skipper, that it's my game, and actually recorded the final six outs. He struck out four of those final six players down the stretch, and in the ninth inning, with two outs, got the final out thanks to a little bit of defense.
Kingham, fastball, swung on, out to dead center, back on his horse, Shaw, the catch, the game is over! The Longhorns take it! A complete game from Nolan Kingham, and Texas takes the opener from TCU.
All right, so there it is, game two of the series tonight at 6:30. We're going to talk to Craig Way coming up. He called the game. You heard him there on the highlights. We'll get a preview of games two and three coming up. Longhorns just one game out of first place now in the Big 12, thanks to Texas Tech's 9-4 win over first place Oklahoma State last night in Stillwater. One other Texas note before yesterday's game, Texas second baseman Cody Clemens announced as one of 35 semifinalists for the Dick Howser Trophy. That goes to the National Player of the Year. Other baseball last night, Rangers lost the opener of their series in Chicago. White Sox rallied for four in the eighth to beat them 4-2. Round Rock was a 3-2 loser in New Orleans. Astros took the night off. They open a weekend series with the Cleveland Indians tonight down in Houston. And that's the news.
Horn Headlines, brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Top Gun is the place to rent construction equipment and buy and service your lawn equipment and trailers. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, so there you go. Good stuff. We got NBA. Can't wait for the games on Saturday night and Sunday night. We're going to have
a long time, though, isn't it? I mean,
your microphone is not on.
Am
my
I
friend.
Not on?
Now you are.
All right. That's a long time to wait. I mean, I think that really kind of favors LeBron to.
I think it favors, Steph Curry and his knee. He looked like he was gimpy in game three.
Yep.
Or game two, I should say. Chris Paul limping around a little bit, too. So, yeah, the extra time. But, yeah, it's for TV ratings, right? You want to put him in on a Saturday night when everybody's looking for something, and then Sunday night, the most watched night of the TV. And They'll go four straight right there. They'll do Saturday night, Sunday night, then Monday, Tuesday for games three and four for both series. But, yes, no basketball last night, none tonight. You'll have to wait till Saturday night to get to it. All right, so we'll take your thoughts there. We'll also have more on the James Harden situation coming up. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, the busiest man in radio, back and forth to Houston yesterday and then calling the game against TCU last night, our man Craig Way. C-Way, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Hey, Monty, how you doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Hey, let's start with the game last night. High drama. I mean, you could hear it in your voice. We just played those highlights. How about Nolan Kingham to start with? I mean, a guy that Texas needs to be that that lead dog and that rotation. And for him to tell David Pierce, no, this is my game. You know, I'm going to finish this thing. That had to be a big boost for his confidence and the team's confidence in him.
Yeah, you know, Rocky Wallace and I got a kick out of the actual wording of his answer, which is obviously in the morning report that'll come out a little later this hour. But when he said that to David after the game, with all due respect, sir, this is my game. I'm going to just, if you know Nolan Kingham, the words "with all due respect" probably don't come out of his mouth that often. So we got a kick out of that, and that's why Roger laughs. Well, as long as you said "with all due respect," so you know it kind of almost reminds me of that Ricky Bobby quote. You know, that they're in Talladega, with all due, just because you say "with all due respect" doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want. You know, that kind of thing. But he did. He took it on his shoulders, and I'll say this, Aaron. He's in late, even though he had struggled out of the gate, given up hits and runs in his last two outings. He kind of righted the ship a little bit and was able to give the team length. Well, last night he got out of the gate very strong and was good all the way in. And, you know, there was that bang-bang controversial call there on the second TCU run in the seventh, but he kind of shook it off and continued to go. And, yeah, he definitely wanted to finish and did an excellent job.
He certainly did, and that's a shot in the arm because that sets up the weekend. Didn't have to use anybody out of that bullpen, so now you're fresh for the next two games. And as I mentioned, Craig, they're just a game back of Oklahoma State now. There's a lot to play for over the next couple of days at the Dish.
I have a feeling, in college baseball, you can't do a lot of quote-unquote scoreboard watching because you don't have an out-of-town scoreboard up. If you're the team in the dugout at home, you don't have that. Now, we had it on. Roger and I both had the Oklahoma State, Texas Tech games on iPads in the booth. So we're watching that as we're watching the other one, letting people know what's going on every inning, what's happening. And they had a pretty dramatic thing there with Grant Little, one of their outstanding players, a player of the year candidate in the Big 12, got really injured crashing in a collision with Cody Farhat, his center field teammate, in the outfield fence. That happened in that ball game, and so we were telling people about that. So don't know what the situation is with him, and so we were keeping people updated on that. But we had a keen interest in what was going on. And I would say this to you, Aaron: there's no doubt the coaches that they know what's going on, and I think probably most of the players know what's going on as well with that. So they know now. They're one game back with two to go. They need to make up one more game, which means they still need some help from Texas Tech. They need one more Red Raider win, and then if they win, that would draw them even. And then, if you go into the last game of the season even, that's about all you can ask for to have an opportunity to perhaps win at least a share of the Big 12 title.
Craig, remind me, because I believe, if memory serves, when they played Oklahoma State, the third game got rained out, right? Is that true, or did Texas take two out of three in that series?
Longhorns won that series.
They won the series, okay.
Two out of three. The weird thing about that series, Darren, is they lost the opener, the Friday night game. Joe Linhard, who's had some struggles this year for the Cowboys, really pitched well on that Friday night game, and Nolan Kingham struggled. That was one of the games where he struggled, and they lost that game, I think 6-1, and then they came back Saturday, and they beat Oklahoma State's ace at the time, Carson Teal, on Sunday, had a big fifth inning. So they do own the tiebreaker. Here's the oddity. And we were talking about this in the postgame. The Longhorns own the tiebreaker on what are currently the first, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth place teams. Where they got hurt was, believe it or not, the seventh and ninth place teams. They dropped the series, and they were both road series, the one in West Virginia a couple weeks ago. And then, of course, that thing that just sticks out like a sore thumb, be it, the Kansas State series. I would submit to you this, however, because people say, how could they lose that series? Kansas State's not even going to make the conference tournament. They're just playing out the string in San Francisco this weekend with a non-conference series. That was the weekend that the team and David Pierce rediscovered Andy McGuire, because he had not, in fact, he had not started a game in over four calendar years when they started him in the outfield in the Friday game. I think he had three hits there, and then he got the save on Saturday. So there were some things that came out of that weekend, even though they dropped two out of three to Kansas State that weekend. But they hold the tiebreakers against Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Baylor, TCU. So they hold the tiebreakers on all of those teams if they were able to get, if they were to, you know, wind up having that to factor in. Although it won't factor in with Oklahoma. They had a bizarre game last night, Aaron. They had they scored four in the top of the ninth at Kansas. They're up 5-1. They give up four in the bottom of the ninth, including a two-out tie-breaking two-run homer, and then give it up on a walk-off homer in the tenth. So they lost to Kansas. And because of the Texas win, the Longhorns now are assured of no lower than the number two seed in the conference tournament.
Craig Way is with us. He called the game last night. He'll call it tonight at 6:30 and tomorrow at 2:30. It'll be hot, and there's no doubt about that, for the start of tonight's game and then all day on Saturday. Hey, the injury on the negative note, Austin Todd, the center fielder on a diving catch attempt, made the catch and then lost his glove, but it looked like he maybe separated his shoulder. Any idea how long he may be out for Texas?
Well, if it were up to Austin Todd, he'd be back in the lineup tonight, because apparently, and Roger was asking David Pierce about this after we were done with the post-game interview, that apparently it did pop out, and probably with team trainer Michael West, they popped the shoulder right back in. And Todd said, I'm fine, I want to play tomorrow. And David said, you're not playing tomorrow. So, it's, you know, but it put it this way. It doesn't sound as serious as it could. Like, I don't believe they think there's any kind of, you know, fracture or break or anything like that. It is a pop out, and I don't know, not being a doctor, I'm not sure on that sliding scale between separation and subluxation or whatever you want to call it. Austin acts like he's okay. He's just had such a snake-bitten year with a thumb injury, and he went through that flu bug that so many of us encountered, and then had a little bit of a banged-up knee. He's had all kinds of problems injury-wise this season. With a right-hander going for TCU tonight, I think you were going to see Tate Shaw back in the lineup anyway in center field. So hopefully it's not something that will keep him out long-term, and it'll be ready to go again pretty soon.
Craig Way with us. Craig, one of the other, and we tell you the busiest man, you went to Houston and back yesterday to, I believe, be the MC of the Tom Herman Touchdown Club of Houston luncheon, and I was interested in your thoughts on that. He addressed the Aggies, and there's a lot of subplots there. Of course, Tom coached at U of H. There's a lot of Houston ties there, and it's deep into Texas A&M country at a lot of levels. Tom was asked about that. What were some of the highlights for you yesterday with Tom in Houston?
Yeah, that was definitely one of them, Aaron. And one thing that Tom did was he did a couple of things. There was a media availability around 11:30, and of course, Jeff Howell was there, and I visited with him about it. He was down there, and and the questions. A lot of the questions for Tom during that were about being back in Houston and the event in Houston and recruiting in Houston. And it was kind of funny because he said, I know I'm going to forget somebody. And he just rattled off the long list of all these guys that he had recruited and all of these guys that have signed out of the greater Houston area. But he was asked about the A&M, the whole specter of Texas A&M. And he also was asked about not only the specter of Texas A&M, he was also asked about it in the luncheon itself when one guy stood up, and I'm going to guess here. I'd say I'd put his age somewhere between probably 65 and 70. And the guy said, and I'll tell you why I named his age, is because the guy stands up and is just frothing and full of vitriol and saying stuff like, we got to go out there. I think his words were, we got to go and kick the Aggies' ass. When are we going to do that again? And, and Tom looks at him. This is a guy, like I said, he's pushing. It looked like from the back of the room, looked like he was at least pushing 70. And Tom looks at him and says these words, and I quote, dude, there's TV cameras here. You think I'm really going to tell you how I feel? So
So, you know, it was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of Longhorns, obviously, for it to be a University of Texas day with Tom Herman, and that they wanted to hear his message, and I think they came out of it pretty excited hearing the things that, and it was all the, you know, the Houston Touchdown Club, you know it, Aaron, it's really good. They were doing that to raise money for scholarships in the area. It's very much like the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame Austin chapter. I'm on the board for that, and our banquet is Sunday night, and I'm going to be emceeing for that as well. Those are really good events because they raise money for scholarships for outstanding student athletes.
Craig, we appreciate it. Sounds like you're busy. Got games this weekend, and you're emceeing another event, and so we appreciate a few minutes this morning. We'll be listening to the call tonight and all weekend long.
Look forward to it, fellas. Thanks.
All right, there's Craig Way, down and back. Yeah, in the essence of time, let's hear from, because we have this audio of Tom Herman. Can we have some of this, BK? BK, do we still have Tom? Because, I actually heard the old guy. Craig was a little nicer. He was an old dude. He was all fired up. He's like, when are we going to get those Aggies back? We need to start kicking them. You know, he's like Casey Stutter when he came up with us last hour. They're soft. We need to get back out there and beat them again. They're getting a little bit too big for their britches, the guy indicated. But Tom did answer and say, look, there are cameras here, man. You think I'm really going to answer that way? But he did go on to say this about playing Texas A&M again. Of course, Alabama has come on the schedule in the non-conference, so, you know, here this week. And here's what Tom Herman said about playing the Aggies.
I can tell you this. As long as they're in different conferences, it'll never be on Thanksgiving Day again, because that's right in the middle of our conference schedule. But I do know this, that interstate rivals that are in different conferences all over the country find ways to play each other. I usually Clemson and South Carolina play every year. Florida and Florida State play every year. Georgia and Georgia Tech play every year, even in our own conference. Iowa State and Iowa play every year. The list goes on and on. And so I hope at some point we do find a way. Unfortunately, the only thing, I'm not asked for a decision on that. I'm asked for a suggestion. And I've given my opinion and my suggestions, and we'll let the powers that be figure that out. But I have certainly voiced my opinion as loudly as possible.
All right, and so that was for folks who suggested that, you know, Tom Herman there, because the Aggies will say Texas is afraid to play the Aggies, vice versa. You know, it's pretty clear Tom Herman would like to play that game.
I don't think either school's afraid of the other. I mean, I really don't.
But it's not about the coaches either. If you ask Jimbo Fisher, he'd like to play the game.
Sure.
You talk to players, former players, current players, they'd like to play the game. That's it's one of the historic games in the history of college football. It was. But I did, you know, the newsworthiness there is it'll never be played on Thanksgiving again, Tom said. And, you know, that's going to bum some people out. You and I have made the suggestion of playing that game, much like the Notre Dame game a couple of years ago, every Sunday of Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Play it Sunday night. Make it stand alone. Make that first game something special. The whole month of August would be crazy.
You'd dominate opening week. You know, it's very rare that you get an opening game like Oklahoma, Ohio State, or Texas, Notre Dame. That would be a dominant rivalry. Yeah. Once again, well, immediately.
I think it would add an extra punch to spring practice. I mean, if you know your first game's with the Aggies, I mean, there's an extra level of preparation. There's an extra level of importance to that game. You know, devil's advocate would say, come on, why would you want to play that game early? It's your first game. But, boy, that Labor Day Sunday was a lot of fun because everybody was off the next day. The TV ratings were huge on ESPN when they played Notre Dame or on ABC. We'll take your thoughts on that. We got to get a timeout. We're late for the break. When we come back, we're going to hear some more of the highlights from your podcast, Monty, that you've been doing, and we're ready to go forward with and put out there for the folks. The World According to Monty, is that right? The full Sports Monty.
World According to Monty. It's some movie. It's one of those
full
movies.
Full Sports Monty, the podcast arm that we're building, and Monty's been doing great conversations. We'll hear another highlight coming up. Plus, Craig Way will have the Craig Way Report. Well, you'll hear Nolan Kingham saying, hey, Coach, it's my ball. It's my game. We'll also have your salacious gossip and your blitz on a muggy, warm Friday morning. It's Beanie. All right, B&E with you. It is Monty Williams hanging with us, riding shotgun all the way till 10 o'clock, and we're loaded. We'll talk to Brian T. Smith of the Houston Chronicle coming up, preview the Rockets and Warriors game 3 and then 4 this weekend, of course, 3 on Sunday night. He has a cool column out, or good column out, I think, about Mike D'Antoni and the media frenzy and overreaction after game 1. I mean, obviously, D'Antoni's had his playoff failures, but for, you know, talking heads to suggest scrapping everything and starting over after game one was pretty ridiculous. But he stuck to his guns, and Rockets won game two. Can they come back and win game three? Which led me to a conversation about James Harden, in which I still get bothered by his attitude sometimes. And he talked about, you know, in game one they were at a 70, and in game two they were at a 95. And it's just, as the fan and the observer, I'm thinking, you're the tip of the spear. That can't happen. You guys, with the playoff failures of the past and knowing you're playing the Golden State Warriors, a series everyone's been circling and had circled from day one, the jump, to be at 70 in game one is just not okay, which led to a couple of texts. This says, get off James Harden. Leave that guy alone. Let him win the West because they can do it. This says, interesting thought. Says, see if I find the other guy weighed in on him. He said, "E, not just you. I've often felt Harden is just that as a cavalier attitude at certain times, and as the leader, he needs to set the standard for the rest of the team. He just didn't do that in game one." And that's kind of my thought. And that, yeah, again, it comes off as nitpicky because Harden's going to win the MVP, and he did score 41 points in game one, and so that's nitpicky. But with a superstar like that, they do get nitpicked.
Well, I think a lot of people hoped that some of Chris Paul would rub off on James Harden, you know? I mean, that focus and that kind of will to win. And you know, I mean, there's careless and then there is care less. And I just think Harden kind of radiates that he could care less.
At times. Yeah. And even as a Rockets fan, last year against San Antonio in Game 5 when he just seemed, you know, some would make the excuse he was tired and exhausted because he was carrying the team, but he disappeared in the biggest game of the year, in an elimination game, which people couldn't understand. And then the reports that he was out at the club that night, and those things echo. And then when you, so now here you are with Chris Paul, with this great team that won 65 games, and to hear the leader admit that, yeah, we were probably at a 70 in game one. Well, that's, no, you can't be at a 70. I can understand a bad game, but in game one, and you worked all season to have home court, to have that game one on your floor.
Yeah, and fritter it away like that.
And to come, and that can't happen. Not just for him, but he's the one that said it. So, yeah, it was the whole team. But I do think Harden, despite the 40-some point performance, was a part of that, dribbling the ball and, you know, not engaging the rest of the offense and those kind of things, not playing any defense. But either way, we'll talk to Brian Smith about that coming up. He's got a good column. He's followed this team and covered this team for years, including James Harden. But Monty Williams is here. One of the things we're wanting to do this morning is highlight some of the things you're doing to help us join the podcast revolution in the media world. We do podcasts every hour of all of our local shows, and we have the Fight Night podcast where Eddie and the crew get together, and Jordan, and they talk about the fighting sports, martial arts, mixed martial arts, MMA, and boxing. And then Stu Myrick does the great Sports Guys Talking Wrestling podcast. But you have taken on the challenge of adding to that with three or four more podcasts each week that we're hoping to do moving forward into the summer and beyond, with sit-down conversations, long-form conversations. There are three or four different, you know, podcasts we want to do, which we'll talk about more coming up. But we've heard from Craig Way this morning because you did a long podcast conversation with Craig about his career and his life and getting into play-by-play. Bill Schoening was another one of your sit-down conversations. And Lance Blanks.
That's right.
Lance Blanks, for folks who don't know, played at Texas. It's part of the BMW years with Lance Blanks and Travis Mays.
Yeah, the air doesn't get more rarefied than Lance Blanks.
Joey Wright.
Joey Wright and
you followed Lance when he was here.
Yes.
As an avid basketball fan as you are. And then he went off to the NBA with the Detroit Pistons, and then it was climbed all the way up to a general manager of the Phoenix Suns.
First round draft choice. He was head of scouting for the Spurs, assistant GM for the Cavaliers, general manager for the Suns. He's played in the CBA. He's played in Europe. I mean, there is no better pedigree. He's just a fascinating, fascinating guy. And I think the cut we're going to play is I wanted to talk to him about, you know, the BMW days.
And for folks who weren't here for that, it was Lance Blanks from Virginia. It was Travis Mays, and it was Joey Wright, and they were just a hell of a fun team to watch. BMW, they called them. It was high-octane offense, and they would have went to the Final Four, would have gone to the Final Four, I should say, if not for Arkansas and Nolan Richardson in their senior year. But here's Lance Blanks, a piece from the podcast that we're going to launch out that you can hear the whole thing of starting next week. We'll get you details, but here's Lance Blanks.
There was an ad campaign called the BMW Driving Machine, and you were part of the BMW Scoring Machine, which B is Lance Blanks, and M is Travis Mays, W is Joey Wright. Do you keep in touch with those guys?
I do. We phase in and out depending on where we are in our life, but I recently talked to Joey, who's had an illustrious career overseas in Australia. He's, historically and currently really one of their best coaches of all time. He's just done a remarkable job there. And then Travis, of course, we stay in contact. We'll talk, at least no less than once a year, but, 2 to 4 times a year we'll text or there'll be a phone call or what have you. But we're connected for life. What a great experience playing with those guys and competing with them, because we're all very competitive guys, but I think we drove each other to really max out and be the best we could in the aggregate as a team collectively, and then personally as individuals we drove each other. So for life, we're connected.
Yeah, for fans who sit in the stands and watch, you're all teammates, but you go head-to-head in practice. It's a very competitive situation every single day. What, 80, 90% of the time, your adversary is your teammate.
Yeah, it is. It is, Monty. And a little known fact, I actually just recently learned this. We competed more with each other in practice. And I remember one time they put us on opposing teams in practice. And just maybe it was a year or two ago, I was talking to Coach Horn, and he told me that, yeah, y'all did compete one time in practice against one another. I said, I know, I remember that. I said, but I didn't know. I noticed we didn't do that a whole lot after that. He goes, no, you didn't. He said, that was strategic. He said, you guys would have killed one another. I said, oh, wow. So there was a method behind us not going against each other. He said, absolutely. And thinking back, yeah, we were just incredibly aggressive and forthright and passionate about the sport and winning every single second we were on the floor. So it was probably a good thing that we didn't compete on a daily basis head-to-head.
And one game away from the Final Four.
Yeah. It gives me chills that you would bring that up. Now, I would add to that one game and one shot. And I think, had it been maybe any other team in the country other than Arkansas, we likely would have gotten there to the Final Four. But, hey, what a great run. We left it all on the floor. Arkansas was just a team that they had our number. We couldn't get it done. Hats off to the job they did, because Nolan Richardson turned that thing into one of the more elite programs during his tenure. But
40 minutes of hell, right?
40 minutes of hell, exactly. And that played, right into our hands in terms of the way we competed and the speed we liked to play with and our conditioning level. But for whatever reason, we just could not get over the Arkansas hump.
All right, there's a piece from the a long podcast and conversation you have with Lance Blanks that we'll make available to folks next week. I know a lot of fans will want to hear that because he does go into his time. It's funny that he left with the three guards here and went to Detroit where Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars were.
Yeah.
And he became another part of another backcourt. And he told the story to you that one time chasing Bill Laimbeer around the gym with a broomstick.
Yeah, he's going to beat him with a broomstick.
Because Laimbeer was poking at him as a rookie trying to figure him out.
First practice, he wanted to see what Lance Blanks was kind of made of and began to tweak him a little bit. And Lance Blanks picked up a broom and went after him. And he made the point, too, which is a really interesting one. He didn't get a lot of playing time. And, because who are you gonna put out of the lineup, Isaiah Thomas or Joe Dumars? But all three of those guys ended up at the highest levels in management. Isaiah Thomas as a president, team president for the Knicks, Dumars general manager of the Pistons, and Lance Blanks with the Phoenix Suns.
Great stuff. So we'll tell you more about those podcasts and how you can be a part of them and make them a feature for you. We're excited about that arm of our of the Horn and Austin Radio Network. Monty doing a great job. We'll come back. When we do, we will hit some salacious gossip, including a happy birthday wish to maybe the greatest Longhorn of them all, Longhorn football player of them all. We'll also take your blitz, salacious gossip, then the blitz. Load it up, 447-3776. Bring it strong on a Friday. Before that, though, Craig Way has the Craig Way Report.
Things went well, very well, for the Texas Longhorns and the Texas State Bobcats on Thursday night. beginning college baseball's final weekend of regular season play. First, the Bobcats, Texas State winning on the road at UT Arlington by a score of 5-2 as Texas State tries to make a push to finish in the top six to be able to go straight into the double elimination bracket of the Sun Belt Conference tournament next week in Lafayette, Louisiana. Meanwhile, the Longhorns jumped out to a 3-0 lead on TCU and held on Nolan Kingham with his second complete game of the season as Texas edged the Frogs 3-2. In the contest, Kingham had gone through the first eight innings, and head coach David Pierce was considering going to his closer, Andy McGuire, to close out the ballgame. Kingham had other ideas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said we're going to McGuire, and I said, sorry, sir, with all due respect, you know, this is my game, and I want it.
The Longhorns, with the win, also moved within one game of first place in the Big 12 Conference standings with Oklahoma State's loss to Texas Tech, and they clinched no lower than a second-place finish in the conference standings due to Oklahoma's extra-inning loss to Kansas. Texas goes for Game 2 and the series coming up tonight. More on that coming away this afternoon in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All right, no games, just gossip, brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you have a great Bud Light weekend. Remember, tonight, Texas Stars at the HEB Center at Cedar Park with the $2 draft Bud Light, plus to buy one, get one free wings. That's on a very hot day to get inside the Cedar Park Center where it's going to be cool and ice and ice cold beer and hockey. Come on, man. Get on in there tonight. Check that out. We'll be good. All right, Salacious Gossip, happy birthday. This isn't gossip. This is for truth to maybe the greatest Longhorn of them all, certainly on the football field, Vince Young. Vince Young celebrating a birthday today.
Hey, girl. Hey, boo-boo.
And we say, hey, girl. Hey, boo-boo to VY.
Hunter Landry.
Not Hunter. I knew you were going there. Not Hunter Landry. But VY celebrating his birthday today on this, the 18th of May. He's 35 years old.
35.
Years young.
It but seems
hey,
like
boo-boo.
Yesterday.
It does. Is he the best Longhorn football player you've ever watched?
Yeah, Earl Campbell was up there, too.
I know, that's
Earl Campbell was up there.
Tommy
but,
Novus was pretty, I mean, that was before my time, so I can't even speak to that.
I kind of dimly remember Tommy Novus with the Atlanta Falcons, but Earl was something.
Earl was, well, and Vince was just transcendent. And I say this about Vince all the time. If he had come back for his senior year, which I don't begrudge him, he struck while the iron was hot, he went third overall.
Yeah.
If he had come back for his senior year with the team that they had, where Colt McCoy walked in as a redshirt freshman, they still won at a high level because that team was stacked. The whole offensive line was back. Quan Cosby was back.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really, really good. If Vince comes back, I firmly believe if he stayed healthy, they would have won. They would have gone back-to-back. He would have won the Heisman Trophy, and he would have left Texas as one of the most distinguished, if not the most distinguished, collegiate football player of all time.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And, man, then he may not have been drafted by the Titans and ended up with Jeff Fisher, which I think just,
yeah.
You know.
Who knows, right? And Mac yeah. Brown has said that, you know, a little another year of maturity.
Well, you know, it's amazing how
decisions. Because if you remember Vince Young's story, when they were on the Rose Bowl the year previous, you know, Vince Young, people were still talking about moving into wide receiver. I mean, it wasn't that long. He when Greg Davis shuffled the offense and they went to the zone read, it took off. He could have used another year, but either way, hindsight 2020, I think he would have left as the greatest player of all
time.
Well,
think it's timing. Like, think of Quan Cosby. He plays a couple years of professional baseball and then comes to UT and ends up, the two people throwing him the football are Vince Young and Colt McCoy. You know, that's yeah. a nice little gig.
That works for Q, right, no doubt. All right, one other note. Yeah, it's been made official. The Cleveland Browns. This is not a punchline. The Cleveland Browns are your Hard Knocks team for 2018.
Oh, it's a punchline.
Bacon Mayfield.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson's going to give you the scintillating how not to lose every single game speeches before training camp now. Hard Knocks chooses the Cleveland Browns with Broadway, Baker Mayfield and company. That should be fun. Let's go to your Blitz. Release the Hounds on a Friday.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, Friday Blitz without Bucky, but Monty is here. That means some Jurassic comments could be coming. First Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah. To save the A&M series, all you got to do is play them every year. It's the first game. It won't wreck your schedule. And the hype alone will save this series, and the whole state of Texas will be watching. I'm telling you, this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Labor Day Sunday, annual rite of passage in the state of Texas, puts you on center stage to start the season.
Dominate the first week.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Did I hear you say you're a sports entertainment empire? You can't even get the signal to work when the sun's out.
That's not true. We do have some rough atmosphere days, but we have other options. We have other options. That's why we've added 101.9 and 1260 and Horn App,
the
Horn
app,
FM.
The app works great.
Back up there, big boy. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
It's been a few years, but, you know, I'm still waiting for the NFL to send me their postcard thanking me for inventing the run and shoot. This is Mouse Davis.
The run and shoot. How mummy, Mouse Davis. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Monty, since we live in an archaic area, where I have to listen to you in amplitude modulation, I was wondering, what was it like back then listening to two radio stations?
Next, Blitzer, you're up. Hello?
Hey, Monty.
Yeah.
Oh, phone issue, phone issue. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Birthday, B-E-R-F-D-A-Y.
Birthday. No, no, no. Next Blitzer, you're up. Oh, man. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, man. Feel good Friday. Hey, Buck, hope your mother's doing well. Y'all have a good weekend.
Well said. Well said. And we agree with that 100%. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Jurassic Monkey. Can't wait for that podcast on how to write a zombie script.
There will never be a blitz on a podcast.
A couple more blitzers. What do you got there, Blitzer?
Oh, man, I'm so tired of talking sports. Can we talk about movies?
I haven't seen a good movie in a while. Monty, you seen a good movie in a while?
Next not blitzer, the
next Blitzer, you're up.
Big Earl running down the sideline will never compare to Vince Young.
National championship, Trump, Big Earl.
No, that's Shut right. Down. That's right. And I remember, they were undefeated regular season, and Notre Dame shut Earl Campbell down in the bowl game.
Championship, fourth and five.
I'm with you. But like I say, Earl Campbell was the other Longhorn that I really think just was spectacular. I can't say he was better than Vince as far as achievements. Not at all.
By the way, if you're tired of sports, the royal wedding, BK. Speaking of sports empires, I just saw this from CNN. How to watch the royal wedding. They've got it all, man. CNN TV, CNN app, Apple TV. Are all your wives and girlfriends going to be up 6 a.m. tomorrow watching this thing? Their coverage on CNN starts at 12 midnight tonight. Goes till 5. The royal wedding.
And BK has 4 TVs, right?
Yeah, it'll be on all 4.
Who's getting married?
Meghan and Harry, it says here. Meghan and Harry.
Harry Potter?
Harry the Prince.
Harry looks like he could whip some people, though.
Harry the Prince and Meghan, who's quite attractive. Hey, Meghan Markle's is a good-looking princess. We'll be back. B&E on the Horn. Brian T. Smith of the Houston Chronicle joins us to talk some Rockets, Warriors, and all things Houston. Plus, we'll reset your headlines. Longhorns, big baseball win last night. We'll tell you how they did it coming next.